Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another week. Thank you so much. I know, there's not just me on here today. If you are listening, you're gonna hear a choir of incredible, and look at all women today. You have got some women power coming down. We are going to talk about health and wellness today. Why? Because it's so important. And people are talking about health and wellness. And the expansion of health and wellness has gone past the idea of going to our doctor for regular checkups. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why it's important to have a preventative mindset around your health and wellness and things that you can do that you may not have considered before being part of your health and wellness. You know, we talk about that pie, you know, that pie. And the fantasy, it's just so not true, of the balance of my personal life, my business life, my health and wellness life, and my this. I mean, it's a pie, but it actually all goes together. One part rolls into the other. And sometimes you're putting on a project and it's this much and your health and wellness or your balance or your time with your family or whatever starts to get a little smaller in that pie. But I'll tell you, from someone who's been kind of doing this for a while and who truly believes in searching out all forms of health, including preventative, I really truly think that you ladies are in the right place, because I say that our, like this, you know, this unit that we have, this body that we have, this is your most warranted asset. Like, this is more important than the house that you live in, than the house that you buy. And it's crazy. Sometimes people spend more money on their pillows for their couch than they do to take care of their mind, their body, and their soul. And so this whole arena of health and wellness and all the different things that we can do to help ourselves as in our physical body, but also even in terms of our business, you know, the world of entrepreneurship has exploded. And people doing really cool, healthy things, taking care of their business, even being in their most optimum state mentally and physically, helps all the areas of their lives. So this whole circle that we have is so important. I would say it's, you know, your most important asset is you, right? So anyways, off the tangent I go. My listeners love to be preventative and they love to hear things on how to make their mission easier. And that's what it is. It's all about mission accepted. People came and took the mission, and that was you ladies. And why you took the mission, I want to dig into that a little bit, but what a healthy, wealthy conversation we're going to have today. So let me introduce you to who's hanging out. We've got Lori Osborne, and Lori Osborne is an author. She's a multi-author. She's an international speaker, and she's incredible, and she's amazing. We have Miss Linda Nardelli, who is a spiritual counselor and channeler. She also falls in the author speaker category. Who doesn't, right? You're on a podcast, you're rocking your world. And then we have Vera Milan Gervais. Did I say that correctly? I hope I said that correctly. Yeah, she's kind of nodding her head a little bit. She'll correct me. And she is a mindset mentor. And we just talked about mindset. So ladies, welcome to Mission Accepted today. And we're going to have a conversation with all of you. And probably you're all going to maybe have same but similar but different answers to these questions that I'm thinking would be really great for our audience. And our audience is so kind. They kind of tell us what they want to hear. So it makes my role really easy. But Vera, let's talk with you so you can correct my wonderful way of saying your name. And you can tell people what it is. But what is it about your work that you knew that this is what you wanted to do? Like, what was it about this sector, or specifically what you do in the sector, and do tell us what you do, really rang true for you?
I think so. My name is Vera Milan Gervais, and I'm used to everybody wrong because it's just the way we do. It's Irish, not Italian. So I don't think that I chose so much to work in this sector as it chose me. I was born with a physical handicap, which meant that one of my legs didn't grow properly. And so I had four surgeries before I turned 18 and another four after that. And I grew up very much aware of the fact that health was fragile and that if we didn't have our health, we couldn't do things because I couldn't do almost anything when I was a child. And so I think that that innately led me towards the healthcare field. And I studied communication arts. I started out doing advertising, actually, advertising and strategic, and ended up transitioning towards the medical field and became a medical writer and a medical strategic consultant. So I think for me, it was all about my own journey towards figuring out health. And then in the process, deciding that I really wanted to help others with their health. And then within the last 10 years or so, I've moved into the mindset component because I've realized that people don't look after their health unless they know they have a reason to look after their health. Mm. And also the whole aspect of this emotional component that when we don't believe we want to be healthy, we're not going to be healthy. So mindset is really an important factor.
I think that's really, you know, that's, you know, whether they call it a mic drop or what have you, but first of all, congratulations on your journey.
Thank you.
And I love your book. You're also an author and amazing as well. And I've heard you talk about the content of your book, but there is a flip that happens. And obviously, you know, I'm talking to all of you when I'm talking to you is that there's a time where you get involved in health for whatever reason, you have a health condition, or there's that moment that for everybody kind of highlights that health has its level of importance. And then it's one thing to study it. It's one thing to change. It's one thing to go. Then there's a decision about now I want to take that to the world. You know, that's when that other entrepreneurial piece comes in, or you decide you want to go make that your sector that you want to work in. And I think that's really like when you said you decided and then you discovered that it was really about mindset. The people that you were talking about, they making the decision to be healthy. What does that look like? What's the commitment going to take? And having a reason to make that decision.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, that's very, very cool. And Miss Lori Osborne, I know that we were talking a little pre-show about how you had your own experience with health and how that curated and changed maybe your mindset, maybe how you thought about things and the direction it took you. So please feel free to share with us today.
Awesome. Thank you. And I do have to say what Vera just said. I grew up in a cancer-ridden family, expecting to get cancer, got it at 36. But you know what? I'm not ever getting it again, and I'm not dying from cancer. So there you go. I do have a brain tumor, a meningioma. It's benign. It's part of my carotid artery. It'll probably be there forever. I shouldn't say that, but you know, I've accepted it. But it did stop me in my tracks. I was middle of corporate America, working myself to death. And they said, we can't do surgery to remove it, but we want to get it off your optical nerve because my eye was drooping. You'll be back to work in 2 to 4 weeks. First time they went in, they nicked the carotid, caused a brain bleed, caused the left eye to go mostly blind. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and at 4 weeks, I wasn't even functional. So I didn't go back to work. I actually just stopped and went, okay, what can I do to stay busy and productive and maybe someday have a business? And that's when I actually discovered website design and changed my entire world. Like I found my passion. And I don't love that I have it, but like you described it so well, Deb, I don't love that I have it, but I am so grateful that it happened because I needed that so badly in my life. And it has changed. It's changed everything. And it has changed how I look at health. It's changed how I, I listen to my body more than I ever have. You know, I have some limitations from it, and I've learned to respect that and not kill myself like I did in the corporate world. Because what is the point? I also got married to my current husband at 43, and we are having a 50-year anniversary. Just saying.
Oh.
Wow. That's amazing. And we did talk a little bit about that pre-show, and I don't think it's an uncommon conversation that happens anymore, is because people are now, they talk about, look at what we've got going on right here. So people talk, they disclose, they get transparent, they get vulnerable, they say the experiences they've had in their health and wellness world. There was a time where you didn't. There was a time that if you went into the office, you didn't talk about how you felt physically and or personally, because you felt it could stop you from making your way up the ladder, or how people will feel, or she's not capable, so I'm going to take that off her desk, or what have you, or the roles that we play, particularly if you're in a leadership role, or you're holding space for other people underneath you, you're in a leadership role, a managerial role, the expectation is you don't become unwell. Right. And then how much do we take on? And so the conversations that are happening, I would say best parties are in the kitchen. If you ever go to a house party, best parties are in the kitchen.
Absolutely. In the
kitchen. Yes. Something about the kitchen and a fridge being there that makes you feel like you can just share anything, right? Compared to the living room, where it's a whole different feel. We'll have to do a show on that or something. But anyways, but people are starting to really share about things that have happened that they wouldn't have wanted to happen. You would have rather had a book, you know, open up to a page and you go, oh, you know, I'm going to read that and live preventatively. But there has been, for a lot of people, that silver lining or that awakening or the respect of the ability of the body, and listening to the body. That's so tough, particularly when you're in build, when you're in the build of your life or the build of a relationship or, you know, the build of a business or something like that. It's like one more thing. Right. And then where you are now, I know that, you know, an author in a book that's all about love and connection and what you do and how you live your life. I mean, so you go into web, right? You go into the world of web, and people might not see that as a health and wellness decision, but it was absolutely a health and wellness decision. And how you do your business, I mean, I think no matter what your business is, if you have a health and wellness perspective, how you approach that business, how you treat your clients, the limitations, the expectations, the boundaries, you're like, no, I can't have a meeting at 9:30 at night, unless you're building international, then you're stuck. But then you know what, that's a decision process, but the boundaries too, that when you've experienced the capacity of the body, some of the things that you implement in. So no, thank you for sharing so much. And Linda, hello, welcome back to Mission Accepted. We love and adore you.
I love being here. I'm here again.
I know. It's so great. Don't you love it? It's like our audience shows up again. So why wouldn't our guests show up again? Right. So let's talk about that. We've talked about health and wellness. We're talking about health and wellness and everything about health and wellness. Share with us where you play in the health and wellness sector. And, you know, what was it about this work that you knew you needed to take it out to the world?
Well, I've been exploring how I came into this. And it was my friends, family members, my own counselor that said, you should be a counselor. And I remember my counselor, I was assisting her before I even took my training. And I had done series, and she says, would you like to assist me in the next one? Yes. And I just kept saying yes. And I said yes to the training. And I think it was a month into it that I said, I'm in my element. I'm in my element here. And we were just learning reflective listening. And there was so much more to explore. But reflective listening is such a deeply beautiful way of settling into the body. And my sister would say to me, I feel so heard by you. It helps me get clarity. I don't even feel this way with my counselor. So I knew there's something about listening. And a few months after I started my practice, all that changed because my channel opened. So my intuition went berserk. I would see things and sense things and get messages for people. And at one point it was spirit that spoke directly through me. So my voice changed, my demeanor. And I thought I freaked out. I thought, oh my God, I've lost my mind. I'm like, I'm a total flake. And then it took about 3 years to develop a practice where I weave channeling with the counseling, because I think that it brings in the spiritual, it brings in the clarity, and there's nothing like being seen and heard by the other side of the veil, by the subtle energies, by spirit. because it feels like home. And why I keep putting it out is it changes people's lives. And that's the exciting thing. In my private practice, in workshops, in my membership, people's lives are like, they're realizing who they are, they're remembering who they are, which is so exciting. I'm in it because I'm excited. I'm passionate about this work.
So isn't that interesting how we've all been touched by health and wellness and then what we do with that? And I think that let's talk a little bit of it because, you know, the health and wellness has become so popular and I'd love to hear from you because you all do different things on, you know, maybe it's, again, Laurie, share this, how that has played a part in your business. How has it made something different? And Linda, you work really one-on-one and I think Vera, you do as well, but share with us, you know, your, just share with us why you think it's become so popular. Why are people leaning into this? What are some of the things that you're seeing from people leaning in with this? So Linda, let's start with you because we're chatting already.
I've been thinking about that. I think that people know that society, the world, humanity, we're in crisis. Health issues have risen with the pandemic, with cancer. Like there's more cases of anxiety and depression, more opioid overdoses, there's, and this is not just happening with adults, this is happening with children. And so our families are breaking up, divorce rate has gone up, and it's intense, and then there's global warming. So I think there's this knowing something has to be done. And I don't mean to paint a bleak picture, because that's not what my clients, that's not what my circle members come and see me for. They don't come with a fear of what's going on. They come with this hunger for something more. And they'll say that to me, there's gotta be more than this. And they want a more fulfilling engagement with life so that they don't get caught up in the fear, caught up in the hopelessness. They come for a reconnection with well, really the essence of life.
Wow. And Vera, what about for you? Like, what is it, you know, what is it that you're seeing and what's coming to you and how's that working?
I think for me, having worked, you know, for years within the medical field and whatnot, I'm seeing that people are learning that a pill can't cure the damage they've done to their body. And a mantra can't cure the heal the damage they've done to their self-confidence and their worthiness. I think we're really in a state where people are looking for real answers and real sources of health. And that's going to vary by the individual because some people have no idea where the trauma is that's causing them to go in the direction that they're going. And others just have, you know, these feelings of limitness, of being limited or not being worthy. I know I certainly suffered from that. And we self-sabotage. And I think that what I like doing, and I do some one-on-one, but I do a lot of workshops and whatnot because I want to see the impact. I love seeing the impact in a workshop. Mm-hmm. And it's about talking to people about how the thoughts that we have and the words that we use affect how we feel, which affects how we show up, which affects the choices we make, which affects our behaviors, and that affects our health, our mental, physical, and emotional health. And so I really do believe that we're at a stage where there's so much going on and so much uncertainty that we're looking for something. And the one control that we do have, although it's taking us a while to figure it out, is ourselves.
Mm. Very good. Well said. Well said. I love it. I love it. And Laurie, for you.
God, I love everything you just said, Vera and Linda. You know, I don't know if it's just me, but it feels like we have a level of open-mindedness just happening in our country and our world. Like, I think some of it started with COVID and the rise of people getting into coaching. But I think we just are, many people are starting to realize everything Vera just said, that it starts in our core and that we create so much of this. And the part that's heartbreaking to me is that the medical community doesn't get that. Like I've actually said to an oncologist, I am certain I got colon cancer because of the marriage that I was in and the high stress that I was living under. And they never agree with that. You know, no, it can't be that. I know, absolutely. And when I looked at my mother and grandmother, both died at 63 of cancer. And this all happened right before this tumor stuff happened. And I really dug into it and went, what did they have in common? And maybe that I don't have. Well, just what you said, Deb, that we're talking about it more. They didn't talk about anything. They held everything in. They both had ulcers. They were both internally angry. Well, I live with my life on my sleeves, man. Like, you ask me something, I'm going to tell you. And I kind of came out of that going, I'm even more confident than ever that I'm not going to die from cancer because I do get it. And I do get that I can control this. And I'm glad that that message is getting out there more. And that mm-hmm. I really hope that people continue to really listen and realize that when we work on our core thoughts and beliefs, yes, we have to take care of ourselves physically and not just pump ourselves full of drugs, but we still have to start at the core of what we believe and the long term of the effects of childhood trauma, of everything that we go through. And please, if you're in a horrible marriage, get out before you get cancer.
Well, I think, thank you so much for sharing. And I love the transparency. And there's, you know, as you were talking, and I think what's happening, and when Linda talked about, you know, people coming for a sense of fulfillment, I think there's been a wave of, as like you said, you know, there's a lot of doors that have opened. There's a lot of people that are doing personal development. There's a lot of people that are becoming an entrepreneur. And here's the deal. You want to do an entrepreneur, you want to own a business, you better get some personal development because you will meet you so fast, right? And it shows up in the challenge in the business, but then it reflects in the challenge within ourselves. And so as we become wiser on the planet and wiser in our business, we start to take a look outside of our business, even sometimes recognizing that our business is not ourselves. Like, we have this beautiful entity, and so many times we're engaged with it. I remember doing some beautiful work with one of my teachers, and she's like, okay, let's put your business right in front of you. And why don't you have a conversation with your business? And I was like, well, you know what I mean? I think I was in my 30s or something, which, you know, and you know, and it was the first time that I realized, and I was like, oh, well, let's have a conversation, shall we? Because I want to tell you something. And it was so interesting to have this experience. But that the better we become, the better that we can create. I mean, you know, or going for advice to someone like Linda, like, okay, I'm at the end's wits. I need to hear from my intuitive people what I need to do about this situation, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a marketing decision. Do you know what I mean? And I think that people are resourcing. I mean, I remember the whole intuitive world. I had a holistic studio and we had two brochures. Like, we didn't even give people anything that had to do with chakra balancing or even reflexology, right? So there's been an evolvement of people kind of breaking barriers. And, you know, we've heard many times, what you think about comes about, what you think about comes about. But when you put it into the words that you do, right? What are you saying to yourself? How do you say it? There's certain words that, you know, we don't say over when I have my staff meetings, we don't say, there's two words we don't say, right? And because we know the power of the words, all of this level of consciousness is shifting and changing. And it might sound kind of interesting for people until they have their own experience, right? Until they meet themselves in that arena. That's why I believe that we're all this beautiful wisdom that's getting shared, and that the sustainability of that wisdom, right? Realizing that that health and wellness is such an important piece to your life, whether you're in it for work or you're not in it for work. So thank you for all sharing about that. I always think it's interesting to have experiences with people or to hear about maybe a client. Someone that came to you that, you know, what did they come to you for? Maybe share if there's a client story that kind of, you know, jumps out at you as I ask you that question. Linda, for you, maybe you want to share a client story to give our listeners and our viewers some perspective on why would people reach out to an intuitive spiritual counselor?
I worked with somebody, just fell in love with her. She came to see me about 5 years ago, because she was going through a really painful breakup. And through the unraveling of what was going on for her, we got to really look at her belief systems, what she brought to that relationship, which was so much of a projection of her family life, which was profoundly traumatic. I mean, she'd been in and out of the hospital as a child, and she, which has such a feeling of abandonment and neglect, that she just was braced for that, anticipating that in relationship, and quick to fight up against the proof of that. So she was struggling, reliving and reliving that. And fast forward, now she's married to the guy. You know, it's like, which she learned to, she learned to hold space for the potential between them, rather than keep fighting up against, you know, the baggage that, of course, we bring that to marriage, we bring that to all our relationships, and we fight up against it, and it's pointless, because we could look right past that, we could look right through that. I mean, she discovered why she kept putting him in the bad guy role. Like, why does he have to stay the bad? Why do you need to perceive him that way? Well, to protect myself from the past. And so much of the time, the issues that are going on in relationships, at work, in our bodies, are us reliving. Like anxiety and depression, that's not the present. That's not what's possible in our lives. That's not fulfilling. But it is us struggling against a past disappointment, a past hurt. It's like, oh, I don't want to do this because this bad thing's going to happen. But maybe that bad thing happened then. What's occurring now? And there's a split. It's like we become so split. And so with her, we've kept coming in and finding where's her flame, where's her center, where's her truth. And I have to plug in here that people achieve that. They find the grace, they find the breakthrough with commitment. And a lot of people, yes, they're interested in wellness and health, but they want to do, like, they'll call me up, how many sessions do I have to do? Like they want that quick fix.
Yeah.
And that person that I'm talking about, she saw me regularly for trauma-based therapy. That evolved over time. Now she does maintenance with me. And now her work is much more about the spiritual development. She's done all my workshops. She's in, you know, she's committed. And that makes the difference.
Oh, absolutely. That's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story. Vera, thank you for sharing. Linda, how about you?
I think for me, part of it is when I talk to people, I like to share my own story because it makes it easier for them then to step into honesty and truth. My name means truth, so it's a good place for me to start. But when I grew up, because I had this birth defect, I had attached defective to my identity. And so that everything that I did in life was based on the fact that I felt I was defective. And so when I talk to people, I tell this story and I tell them about how I buried everything beautiful because I didn't think that was who I was. That when I got into abusive relationships, I expected that that's what I deserved. And when things went wrong, I expected that that's what I deserved. And so part of what I've done with my book and with my course and whatnot is I talk to people about how the words we use create a cage of labels. And we stay in that cage of labels because we don't realize that we have the ability, it's paper, it's words, we have the ability to push it aside, to walk outside and use our own words. And I remember after one workshop, and I spell words with a Z, by the way, so that we choose them intentionally. And this one lady came up to me and she said, I just realized that all my life, my father told me I was worthless. And that's how I feel. I feel worthless. And so we just said, okay, let's take the less off of it and say you're worth more. Because it's hard to change a label that you're with. Like, you can't say stop feeling that way. Just let's change a little. You're worth more. And it was phenomenal because 6 months later, she'd lost 20 pounds. She was dating. She was so excited. And it's just that we become who we think we are. And those words that we use when we think about ourselves and talk about ourselves are powerful.
I love that. And I know that all of you have books, you know, we'll put them in the show notes, but that's a great example of really that. I mean, that's switching. That's a great switch. And it's such a, you know, I think it's not always the 100% we do, but I think you can change a little here, go for a session here. Like you can pull it and change different things that you do. And 1%, 2%, 3% can make a difference over time. One word from worthless to worthwhile or worth more or what have you. And if she embodies that, right? If she's like, ooh, that really fits even more so. If it's, I mean, to me, when you tell that story, it's felt like she was thirsty and all of a sudden you just gave her a glass of water. She really embodied it. And then she, you know, she wore it. She wore it like a really cool t-shirt or something. And then she had some life-changing experiences. But I mean, I think that's powerful. When I see that, so when I really want to drive something home for myself, I take a red lipstick and I write it on my bathroom mirror because I know I'll see it there every day. And because it's red, you know, it sticks out at me. And that's my indication. So I've done a lot of wordplay that way. But that's really,
it's what you said about the t-shirt. That's why the book's called Words We Wear, because words are like, right?
They're like, I know that. I have your book here.
Right. They're like clothes. And we know as women, we know how we feel when we wear certain clothes, certain shoes, certain makeup, what lipstick, right? And so change the words. And that's the whole premise of the workshops is let's find the words that make you feel the way your clothes do.
Wow. That's very cool. That's very groovy. Okay, Miss Lori, on your side. So you may not have a health and wellness client story, but do you have a client story of working with someone in that positive state, in that evolved way of being, in that caring and all the things that we think about when it comes to health and wellness, like, you know, rising someone up? I don't think it matters what we do as so much as how we do it. Right? How we make people feel, yes. How it makes us feel. Is it a healthy exchange? Who you hang in with, you know? Do you have something yes. to pop to mind?
Yes. Well, I will say this. I'm not sure what it is. I actually just met an intuitive last week that swears that I'm intuitive. I swear I'm not, but I attract coaches, thought leaders, intuitives into my life. I feel like I'm surrounded by them and in my client base. And I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I do know what I talk, you know, the being open. When I speak, I always talk about my brain tumor and just overcoming life obstacles because I feel like I build great websites, but I feel like my mission in life is to share my story and to help other people not live the bad part of my story. I mean, you know, 18 years in a very unhealthy marriage did a lot of damage. I don't want to see other people go through that. So if I can be an ear, so I would say I don't have, you know, an amazing client story other than I feel it is so important to give every client an ear and support and guidance, whether it might just be that I am sitting with them and they're freaking out because their website's down and I'm being calm and letting them know it's okay. I got it. You don't have to worry about it. Please don't stress about it. You'll be fine. You know, I think, like you said, even that little piece is part of giving back in a health and wellness way, because if I can help reduce someone else's stress, and tech can be extremely stressful for even me, like it's stressful, then that's going to help someone else. And then when they're calm, then they're going to help someone else because their clients that they're helping, they're not going to go into that next meeting, that next confrontation worked up, and they'll feel more confident. So I just feel it is so important. Like what Vera and Linda are saying, even about the words that you use and what you're conveying, no matter what we do, no matter what our job is, our business is, it is our responsibility to be open and be supportive, be as transparent as we're comfortable with, so that we can be a beacon of light to other people, not the sour thing that so often we're seeing in today's world. Like, I just want to be a light. I really just want to be a light.
Well, check, you know, check that off. Check that off your list, because you absolutely are. And, you know, I think this is this philosophy of life and philosophy of business and philosophy of being is what's helping stabilize when the world that we talk about has difficulties, right? And the more people are finding goodness within and then sharing that. Now, look at, I mean, there's people in the world that are angels that can channel through angels. And then there's tech angels. And then there's communication angels. Do you know what I mean? Like, just all, just being like these incredible earth angels in the area that we chose, or chose us, as it's been put today, that helps bring light, right? That helps bring light, that makes things easier. That's why we say smile when someone walks by you, or open the door. Like, those little things that we do all adds up and makes the stuff that you hear out there go, whoa, okay, there's good people doing good things. And the encouragement is to live a good life and to take your health and wellness seriously and to listen to your body. Those are some of the things that I've learned from you ladies. We're going to be doing a wrap up here, and I'm going to ask the final question. And when I do, I'm going to ask you to just give us one form of, like, we're going to have all your information in the show notes, but in case someone's listening right now and they're like, I need to listen, like, I need to, like, I'm not going to go look in the show notes. I want to know how to find them. So either, you know, one of your social medias or your website or something, please share that. And as you know, we love music over here. And for you that have been with us before, you probably knew this question was coming. Maybe I'm going to throw a different, who knows, maybe next year I'm going to throw a different question out. But so far, I love music too much. So something, let's pick a piece of music. You know, I always ask, you know, if you're going away on a desert island and you're taking a suitcase and you've got room for one album, what album are you taking that you couldn't imagine not ever listening to for the rest of your days? But I'm going to change it up a little bit. What is the album that makes you feel good about yourself? What's the one that makes you feel happy in your health and your wellness? Because there's, like, you know, Sweet Home Alabama, you know what I mean? I love it, but I'm not sure. I mean, that one makes me feel like dancing and drinking bourbon. So what is the wellness that is? But what's a song that makes you feel like light? What's an album or a band that makes you feel super good? Vera, I'm going to start with you. And at the same time, please tell us how we can contact you.
Okay, like, my suitcase would be full of music. So, like, forget the clothes. Music's all I need. happy songs. I mean, when I want to get myself going, I listen to 50s, but 60s, something like that. Just the old real good stuff. But if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Elton John, because I can always dance to that, right? And to contact me, the easiest way is my website, veragervais.com. Gervais is G-E-R-V-A-I-S.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And Lori?
The first thing that came to mind was Pink, Effin' Perfect. Because when I start having that doubt that I'm not good enough, oh, the energy of that song. And, you know, you can just feel her overcoming societal judgment, and it just pumps me up. And the best way to find me is my website, bizbolster.com, bizbolster.com. I would also love for you guys to click on Join Me to learn more about the Art of Connection book series that is behind me. It is an amazing, life-changing series and community, and you can find out all about it on my website.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And Linda?
The song that pops up in my head is a Meghan Trainor song, and I can't remember the name, but I just want to dance, and I want to throw up my arms, and I become so animated. And so when I'm those days when I'm like, oh, I don't have any energy, let's play that song.
Yeah.
It's awesome. A lot of fun. And my website is lindanardelli.com. That's two L's. And I'd love for you to click on the quiz and find out what soul essence you are and what nourishes your soul.
Very good. Well, ladies, thank you for joining me today. And Audience, thank you so much. I have no doubt you are feeling brighter after listening to this. And a couple of announcements for you. Of course, as always, you're invited to be sitting in these seats as well. And if you want to be on the show, you know where to find us. This is not difficult. There's this website. It's kind of after my name. It's debdrummond.com. And here's the deal. If you go to the contact page, on any of the contact pages, it literally comes right to my email. But we have some super cool things that we've announced. You have been just so grand and so appreciative of sharing this. Our analytics show that our show gets all over the world. And we're so grateful for that. We have a couple of announcements. I know a lot of you are entrepreneurs. Within weeks of this podcast, you will be able to have access to your top performance media success tracker. And I know a lot of you have the planner. A lot of you use our success tracker for all your leads when you do have a business. But this is a media tracker for when you meet people in media, right? All sorts of people in media. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. You have a show, you have a podcast, you have a this, you have a that. And you may not be in need for that at that time. But this is a tracker where you get to put all those resources together, because at some point you will. And you're like, oh, I've got to go do this. And then you're going to go out into the world to look for the media. And if you have a media tracker book of all these resources, and the bottom line is media people know media people, you will have incredible resources. And it's just so much better, particularly if you are self-funding. So anyways, there's all sorts of cool things, but that is launching. We're super excited. And we made the internal announcement yesterday. And so now we are announcing to the world. We just had the most incredible experience at the Emmys, and we are riding that all the way through. This year, it has been Emmy, fun. Lots of really beautiful things have happened from that, and you get to see the benefit of it. And I want to thank every single person who participated in the book and who spoke on the summit. But as of 2025, February 27th, to be exact, we will be at the Oscars Celebrity Gifting Lounge, giving out over 200 books to the celebrities at the Oscars. And if you want to participate in that, I'm not going to go into how we have 44 spots left in the book for you to play, but we do. So if you want to be part of this project that gets hand-delivered to the celebrities at the Oscars, you can, but I would call quickly. And I'm so excited for everybody. And of course, everyone's invited. We'll do some kind of party down there. So if you want to put February 27th, if you're listening to this to after it, well, call us anyways. I'm sure we have another party going on. So we sent our podcast around for 2 years. So I'm sure it won't be the first or last Oscars that we're at. But if you want to participate in terms of having representation, we'd love for you to reach out sooner than later. So ladies, thank you so much for being with us today. Audience, you are the best. You are awesome. And as always, we will see you next week. But until then, you be well and you stay groovy.